Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. That's right. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, November 6th, 2017. What an incredibly busy weekend it was here in the local sporting world of mid-Michigan. I mean, you had high school football playoff action on Friday night. Then on Saturday, the Michigan State football team embarking on a really more like 8-hour affair, topping the Penn State Nittany Lions, a noon kickoff that we saw a 3-hour and 28-minute weather delay occur in the second quarter, and then when play resumed, it was basically a night game. What a day that was. And then on Sunday, you had the Michigan State men's soccer team in action in the Big Ten tournament, and then right down the road at the Breslin Center, Susie Merchant and the Michigan State women's basketball team had an exhibition matchup against Lake Superior State University. Busy, to say the least, right? And then tonight, for all of you NFL fans out there, the Detroit Lions will play on national television on a Monday night football slate in Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers. Oh, boy. So we will do our best to try to recap all of that action and more. Of course, the centered combo that we will lead the show off in just a moment with will be the Michigan State football win at Spartan Stadium. What a crazy day that was. I talked about the rain delay, but the game itself ending the way it ended. Matt Coughlin, unbelievable stuff. So we'll talk about that moment. We will also, again, preview the Lions and Packers and have weekend winners for you. But I'm excited about our guest for today's current sports. He comes from the gene pool of hockey royalty. His name is Dr. Murray Howe. That's right. Son of hockey legend Gordie Howe. He has authored a book entitled 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. Yeah, you can pretty much guess what the book is about, right? So Dr. Murray Howe will join us on the air to talk about his father's legacy and how his legacy has rubbed off on his own life. And he'll elaborate, not too much. Again, we don't want to give the whole book away, but he'll elaborate on a few lessons that his father, the great Gordie Howe, taught him throughout his youth and, of course, into adulthood as well. So we'll do all of that by, of course, welcoming you to the show as well. You can be a part of it by, I should say, multiple ways. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. That is the call-in number. You can join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. We have the live stream up and running, and many of you already are weighing in and getting a lot of sports topics off your chest via facebook.com/currentsports. As I speak, I'll do my best to get to your comments later on this hour. You can also join the fun via Twitter. At Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or the official Twitter handle of the show is at WKAR_sports. But let's get this train of pushing. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. now about McLovin.
Yeah.
After a game-winning 34-yard walk-off field goal to upset number 7 Penn State on Saturday night, Michigan State freshman kicker Matt Coughlin has been named Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week by the conference today. Coughlin's kick went through the uprights as time expired in regulation to give Michigan State a 27-24 win over the Penn State Nittany Lions on Saturday and pushed the Spartans into a first-place tie in the Big Ten East. The Cincinnati native is 9-for-13 on field goal attempts this season and is the first Spartan to earn the honor since Michael Geiger did so on his game-winning kick against Ohio State back in 2015. The Spartans rose to number 13 in the Associated Press college football poll on Sunday. They will head to Columbus this weekend to take on number 10 Ohio State at noon on Fox. The Michigan State women's basketball team, this one was not even close. And actually, the second exhibition game of the year for Susie Merchant and her team. The first exhibition was not televised. It was kind of held behind closed doors. But the Spartans, nonetheless, top Lake Superior State at the Breslin on Sunday. A complete blowout, 111. Yeah, 111. 111 to 37. Five Spartans scored in double figures. And fifth-year senior Brandy Agee scored a game-high 17 points, added 5 boards, 4 steals in 16 minutes. Freshman Sydney Cooks and Shay Collie each had 10 points. Collie had 5 boards to add to her total, and Collie also chipped in 4 steals. All 12 Spartans scored at least 4 points, and MSU's bench even chipped in 55. The Spartans opened the game on a 19-2 run, closed out the first quarter on a 36-2 advantage. They finished the game 57.3% from the floor, 8 trays. MSU will open the regular season on Saturday against Robert Morris at 4 p.m. Michigan State women's volleyball went on the road and took a 3-0 win at Northwestern on Saturday evening. With the win, the Spartans now improved to 17-6 overall, 10-4 in Big Ten play. The Spartans got a big night from senior Autumn Bailey, who had a season high, I should say season best, 18 kills and hit 536, adding 5 digs, a block, and a service ace. Alyssa Garvalink added 8 kills, hit 429, and had 4 blocks. Holly Tolliver, 7 kills, 7 digs, 3 blocks. Michigan State will next welcome Illinois to town on Friday and will host a rematch with Northwestern on Saturday at Jennison Fieldhouse. The Michigan State men's hockey team was topped this weekend by the Minnesota Golden Gophers. A 3-1 loss on Friday, 4-0 loss on Saturday. MSU's record now drops to 500, 4-4-0 overall. In both games, the Spartans got off to slow starts, allowing Minnesota to score 3 minutes into the contest on Friday and 51 seconds in on Saturday. Sam Saliba will put the Spartans' lone goal of the weekend. The Spartans will try to get back on the winning track next weekend with a home series against number 7 Wisconsin. The teams will meet up at 7 p.m. this Friday and Saturday at Munn Ice Arena. Damon Rensing's men's soccer team had chances late on Sunday but fell in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament on Sunday with a 2-1 loss at DeMartin Soccer Stadium against the Ohio State Buckeyes, trailing 2-0 at halftime. MSU did, however, get a goal from John Freetag in the 49th minute to put the Spartans within 1. MSU's best chance to tie the game was from a free kick from Ryan Sierakowski with 31 seconds left. But get this, the shot went off the crossbar. Saw the video and just heartbreak for Rensing's team. The Spartans will now await their NCAA tournament hopes as the Big Ten tournament wraps up this week. They'll find out if they are in the NCAA selection on November 13th at 1 p.m. Casey Harrison now joins me live here in Studio S and has a wrap-up of Friday night high school football playoff action. Casey, a few scores, please.
Good to be here, Al. Thanks for having me. Grand Ledge, they had an egg dropped on them. They lost to Rockford 36-0. DeWitt, though, they win over Cedar Springs 36-12. East Lansing 14-3 over Hazlitt. Williamston winning 47-21 over Pontiac Notre Dame Prep. Lansing Sexton wins 28-25 over Plainwell. And to kind of round out the local area, Lansing Catholic gets shut out by Portland 35-0.
I tell you, that Portland team is very impressive, Casey. John Navarra may have a really special squad on his hands this season. Thank you, Casey. Also, Lions and Packers, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the Green Bay Packers will host the Detroit Lions national TV tonight, Monday Night Football, to close out Week 9 at Lambeau Field. The Lions are looking to rebound from a 20-15 loss against the Pittsburgh Steelers
and have a chance to do so over a banged-up Green Bay team missing quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Since new QB Brett Hundley has taken over, the Packers have been outscored 49-27, giving the Lions, handing the Lions an opportunity to snap a three-game losing streak and become tied with Green Bay for second place in the NFC North. Tonight's game will kick off at 8:30 p.m. You can catch that on ESPN. And our hockey aficionado herself, Caitlin Plug, is in the house to tell us what happened with the Detroit Red Wings over the weekend. Caitlin.
Well, the Red Wings took on the Edmonton Oilers last night and got their first shutout of the season in an impressive win. Peter Mrazek took the net, first start in 7 games, and he played outstanding last night, saved 36 shots, and the Red Wings just put up goals last night. First time we've seen that in a few games. So you had goals from a Nick Jensen shot tipped by Franz Nielsen, and you had Gustav Nyquist, who unfortunately got injured later in the game, but he put up the second goal of the night. And then you had Martin Furk with just one beautiful goal last night, just fired it over the blocker side. And Anthony Mantha put up a power play goal, which the Red Wings have been struggling to do, so that's a good sign for the Red Wings going forward. And the Red Wings play again tonight on their Western Canada trip, so it's a late one tonight. 10 o'clock start on Fox Sports Detroit.
Get your coffee ready.
Yeah,
As I down mine on this Monday. Thank you so much, Caitlin. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's stop wasting time. You know the number, 517-355-WKAR. Here we go.
I said, anybody know what Psalm 91 says? And Kirk Cousins, 7 years ago, beating Penn State for the championship. I said, yeah, I know, Coach. Tread on the lion and the cobra and trample the great lion.
Man, he gave me a little prayer card, Psalm 91, trample the lion. So just giving me confidence, and that's all I had before the kick.
So what do you do with 3 hours and some change on your hands?
I saw a guy coming out of the shower. I looked at him, and I was like, he goes, got to be fresh, Coach. So, you know, that was, uncharted territory. We had guys laying down. I could put the games on, the college football in the locker room, so they're watching college football. Some of them took a nap. We ordered some food. I think the biggest thing we did was we let everybody relax, and then we got our energy going again. We just said, hey, it's going to be an hour. Then we said it's going to be 2.5 hours. It was actually 3:22, all-inclusive, but I thought that we did a good job adjusting, but we talk about that all the time. Just assess the situation, adjust to it, and then let's go.
That is how we start this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. The killer's right there. I'm the man. And right now, the man of East Lansing is certainly Matt Coughlin. Oh, my goodness. Knocking a game-winning field goal right through the uprights to send those who came back to Spartan Stadium after the rain delay in absolute pandemonium. Michigan State now improves that record to sit now tied
in first place in the Big Ten East. What are your thoughts on what we witnessed on Saturday? I should say Saturday night. Should have been Saturday afternoon, right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. It was one of the most uncanny games in Michigan State football history. A three-plus-hour rain delay. 3 hours and 28 minutes to be exact. That started in the second quarter at 1:15 p.m., it sent fans who were inside of Spartan Stadium spilling into the shelter of places like Wells Hall, Monice Arena, heck, even on Grand River at places like Rick's and Harper's, which actually lost power during that moment. What an odd scene it was, because I went on my cell phone and I saw a few Spartan fans on Snapchat who left the game, who attended the game, left the game. They hit up Grand River, and all of a sudden, they're eating food, waiting on play to resume, and then everything goes dark. Power goes out. Talk about drama, right? Heck, even this building where we are broadcasting to you all live inside of the Communication Arts and Sciences here on the campus of Michigan State University, this building opened its doors to allow fans to come and take shelter. Man, a noon kickoff turned into a night game. So how do you pass time? Well, you heard Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, chime in and say, hey, man, I saw our brother come out the shower. All right. I looked at him and said, what in the world? And he said, hey, got to stay fresh, coach. That is my favorite quote of the postgame press conference after that win for the Spartans. And I saw that Penn State, you know, on the Fox broadcast, they said that Penn State had ordered some Chick-fil-A. And actually over $500 worth of protein bars. Michigan State ordered pot bellies. That sounds good right about now. And reportedly also had some pizza as well, as some took naps and grubbed and just waited for play to resume. Now, Coach D'Antonio, again, goodness, what a win for him. And, you know, I caught some really cool footage of him sitting, well, I should say standing, in the middle of Spartan Stadium after that field goal. It went through the uprights. I ran out in the field with my cell phone, and I just caught him by himself. I don't know if you guys have seen the two-minute drill report from that game. Again, if you haven't, go to Facebook.com/currentsports. It's also posted and pinned on my Twitter profile page, at Al Martin WKAR. But I ran out there with my cell phone and caught video of Coach D'Antonio just standing there by himself, looking around, soaking it in. And I was wondering where in the world James Franklin was, head coach of the Penn State football team. James actually, as soon as the kick went through the uprights, he ran down towards the tunnel to catch one of his players who wanted to walk off the field and not shake hands with the Spartans and said, no, man, you win with class and you lose with class. Get your butt back on the field, shake some hands, and be classy about this situation. After he did that, then he found Coach D at midfield and shook his hand. And I caught that interaction. Again, go to Facebook.com/currentsports. But, you know, there was also an impromptu media availability for MSU Athletic Director Mark Hollis and also Deputy Athletic Director Greg Iani. And Greg went on to say that the policy is lightning 20 miles out. An announcement is then made to fans to voluntarily leave the stadium. 15 miles out, and they take the teams off the field and they clear the stadium. An announcement of a 5:30 p.m. start time actually then changed to 4:28 p.m. And I don't know how you make a mistake like that, because I believe that when people saw 5:30 p.m. flash on Twitter from the MSU police, that's when everybody said, that's too long. I'm chucking up the deuces. I'm going home, and I'm catching this game on the friendly confines of my couch. All right? But they changed it from 5:30 to 4:28. I don't know why you jumped the gun that early there. Just kind of wait, you know, until you have a concrete start time. But 4:28 was the new announcement. And then we had a game. You know, again, most fans were cozy at home watching the rest of the action by that time. So Spartan Stadium allowed anyone who was in the area to come back and enjoy the game, even if you did not initially purchase a ticket. It was odd, strange, abnormal, bizarre. That and more, you know, especially for a game of this magnitude, and Michigan State comes out on top as the team remained focused amidst the stress and uncertainty of the elements, if you will. And I even tested the ticket philosophy
as Isaac, our current sports engineer and intern, Karina Garcia, as they were shooting the game, I went back to the Comarts, waited for the delay to resume, came back, and I said, you know what? I want to sit in the stands. I don't want to go up to the press box. I can't go onto the field right now. They don't allow you to do that until 5 minutes left in the game. So you know what? I'm going to go in the stands. And I saw, it was so crazy. I actually walked to Spartan Stadium, parked at Jennison Fieldhouse, and as I'm walking, I'm seeing fans on campus just sprint towards Spartan Stadium in the fourth quarter because, one, the game was close, and two, they found out that it was totally free. They didn't have to have a ticket to attend the game. So they were sprinting, and I walked through the gates just like the fans did, and there you go. It was just kind of like a visual search, and they said, hey, go ahead. You don't have to have a ticket. Go ahead. Ushering people in, and it was amazing. You know, I thought that it was going to remain a really thin crowd of about, 5,000 fans, and all of a sudden, there were about 30,000 fans that eventually came back to Spartan Stadium, including half of the student section. That's pretty impressive, I must say, as much as I've been bashing the student section throughout this season for MSU football. And, you know, how about, you know, Matt Coughlin? He's the hero. As I mentioned in our headliners, he's been named Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week. He went 1 of 3 against Northwestern and then does that. Mark D'Antonio gave him a prayer card with Psalm 91 on it. Was it tread on the lion or something like that?
Trample the lion.
Trample the lion. Trample the Penn State Nittany Lions is what may be edited in the new Spartan Bible version, right? Unbelievable. And again, the crowd just goes crazy after that moment. So a quick breakdown. So I want to get brief thoughts from Casey Harrison, who was at that game, I believe. Weren't you, Casey?
All 7 hours of it.
All 7 hours, yeah. Casey, of course, is doing some great work with the Detroit Free Press as well, alongside Chris Solari. I want to get your thoughts on it, Casey, because you were there as well, along with Isaac and myself. But, you know, Brian Lewerke, I mean, how good can this slick hair quarterback from Arizona become? That's the big question for me. I mean, my goodness, Brian Lewerke, you know, he joined Drew Brees and C.J. Batcher as the only Big Ten quarterbacks with consecutive 400-yard passing games in the last 20 years. He had 445 yards through the air against Northwestern and 400 on Saturday versus Penn State. Now, sure, he had some moments. The overthrows in Evanston to Felton Davis and Darryl Stewart, which were immediately followed up by big-time passes, I must remind you all. And he had some inaccuracies on Saturday as well, but he just about always shows up when you need him to. Now, he is building great chemistry with the wide receiver core on this team right now that is going to cause some problems for any opponent, Ohio State, on any given Saturday. Junior Felton Davis had another great snag, went all out, diving catch. That was a part of a 12-catch, 181-yard performance for him. Lewerke was able to move the chains on 5 third downs by using his arm in the cold, in the rain, trying conditions. He was overall 9 of 14 on third downs. Some of the throws were NFL-type throws to guys like Davis Stewart, also Cody White, Hunter Risen, who just comes off the bench and gives you immediate production, had back-to-back catches in crunch time for him. And Brian Lewerke did it on 33 of 56 passing, just one INT, an incredible play by Amani Orarajé, and I'm probably butchering his last name, Isaac, but it was an incredible catch. The only interception that Brian Lewerke threw, it was just an incredible catch by the defender, I must say. The run game, the Spartans finished with fewer than 100 yards on the ground for the third straight game. However, they didn't ask for much when it comes to rushing the ball, you know, from L.J. Scott. You know, season lows of 24 carries for 74 yards. Lewerke really led the way in this game with his arm. Dave Warner allowed him to just throw the football. I love the play calling from Warner on Saturday. L.J. Scott, 14 carries for 43 yards and a touchdown. And Gerald Holmes, 3 runs for 6 yards. Scott and Holmes, though, combined for 5 catches for 24 yards. So there was an emphasis put on throwing the football on Saturday, something that we really haven't seen throughout this year. The offensive line really concentrated on what it does best. Pass protection allowed just 2 sacks. However, there were some penalties here and there, including a personal foul on tackle Luke Campbell. The defensive line limited Penn State to fewer than 100 yards on the ground for the 4th straight game and 6th outing overall this season. Penn State running back Saquon Barkley, Heisman Trophy candidate, he finished with 14 carries for just 63 yards in this game. He was kept out of the end zone. Pretty impressive. The Spartans also had 3 sacks, 9 quarterback hurries against Trace McSorley while continually rotating. Casey, there was an emphasis. The big question was, how do you slow down Saquon Barkley? Coming into that game with a lot of people saying that this young man is the best player in college football. There was an emphasis on slowing him down. It was pick your poison. Do you allow Trace to throw the football and slow down Saquon, or vice versa? And I really thought the Spartans had a collective mindset of stacking the box, let's put 7 in the box, and let's make Trace McSorley beat us. Great game plan. How do you evaluate it?
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did. They kind of did both. I mean, they took away the run, and they did a pretty decent job at keeping the receivers at bay. The thing I like about this most is what the secondary has been able to do. They were kind of battle-tested against Northwestern, lost some big matchups there. Again, against Penn State, and they lost some on, you know, Trace McSorley threw some really good third down conversions too, just kind of like Lewerke did. Mm-hmm. But this defense is really starting to come onto its own. And to be able to stop a guy like Saquon Barkley, he's my favorite for the Heisman.
As far as his Heisman candidacy is concerned now, I think that it took a little bit of a
hit. This hurts his stock a lot.
Yeah, right. I think Baker Mayfield is probably leading the pack now, quarterback for Oklahoma. I mean, and now again, you look at the Big 12, and I looked at that Oklahoma State game on Saturday. The Big 12 just does not play. I think you have to grade it on the curve a little bit because the Big 12 doesn't play any defense. You know, but Saquon Barkley being shut down ideally the way he was against Michigan State, his Heisman candidacy does, as you stated, does take a hit, right, Casey?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you can't be the foreseen best player in college football, not score a touchdown, be limited to, what, he had 30, 40 yards on the ground?
Yeah. 63. 63. Trace McSorley had 2 yards on the ground, so 63 yards on the ground, less than 100 yards for him.
I mean, still, to be, you know, kind of considered the predominant running back, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country,
right?
I mean, you kind of got to show up with more than that. And kudos to the linebackers and the D-line for doing that. I mean, they really stuffed the box, and they knew how to stop them. It's always been a forefront to stop the run coming in each week. You talk to Joe Bocci, you talk to anybody on their defense, they'll tell you that's their number one priority.
Definitely.
And they did an incredible job at doing that.
They did. Joe Bocci had, he's been good all year, too. 6 tackles and an interception to lead that defense. And, you know, McSorley picked off 3 times, 2 of them by a redshirt sophomore safety, David Dow. We also saw David Dow have 2 INTs against Michigan at the Big House on the road in those kind of conditions. Kari Willis led the team with 11 tackles and a sack. Freshman corner Josiah Scott, 6 tackles. Justin Lane, sophomore corner, had a pair of pass breakups. Solid tackling in open field. This defense is really coming along, Isaac.
Well, one name you didn't bring up and I haven't heard too much of, and this is just because he is an unknown. Prior to this game, he had 4 tackles in his career. Keontae Stallworth was huge for Michigan State University on Saturday because what he did at that defensive tackle position was not only hurry the quarterback, but he tracked back too. He managed to slow down Saquon Barkley from behind, get a hand on him a few times that prevented him from finding open space. That was huge for this team. As you mentioned, David Dow, that kid must have grown up in some sort of tropical climate because he plays well in the rain. That's the fact. I mean, every single time MSU is faced with adverse conditions, he shows up big time. And then when you look at the offense, it's already been said, but Brian Lewerke has all of the intangibles that you want to go out. And as it was pointed out so many times, when it's raining, what's the game plan? You keep it on the ground. You play it safe. You don't make mistakes. That's not what MSU did whatsoever.
And
credit to Dave Warner because he tested them. He really tested that Penn State defense, especially down the field. And Brian Lewerke, he's just got all of the attributes to make it work.
What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also want to send condolences out to the family of Josh Butler, who actually had his father pass away. He found out right before kickoff against Penn State. There were multiple tributes on social media from some of his fellow teammates saying that, hey, we're going to go out there and win this for you. And we will also be posting on WKAR.org a brief snippet from Felton Davis, wide receiver for Michigan State, who again had a monster game, Luke, I got your back. Luke wanted me to give some love to Felton Davis. Can I get some love from Felton Davis the third? What a highlight reel on Saturday for the youngster. Luke, I got your back. Felton was amazing, but he commented on Josh Butler losing his father and how the coaching staff let that be known to the team right before kickoff. So condolences out to Josh Butler and his family. And I want to say this before we hit our first break. I don't know if the Big Ten is going to have a representative in the college football playoff.
Not looking like it.
For the conference, if you're a fan of the conference, you have to root now for Wisconsin to have a big upset out in Indy, whoever that representative mm-hmm. is from the Big Ten East, because right now in the Big Ten East, the top teams have at least two losses. Michigan State will play Ohio State. Right now, Michigan State, that opening line out in Vegas for Michigan State, they are a 15-point underdog against the Ohio State Buckeyes. I do not understand that because the Buckeyes just got absolutely just stomped on against the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday. But nonetheless, the Spartans will travel out to the Shoe. You got to root for Wisconsin. If you are a fan of the conference, you got to root for Wisconsin if you want a rep from the Big Ten Conference in the college football playoff, because the Big Ten took a hit on Saturday for sure with both Penn State and Ohio State losing. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will take your calls, 517-355-WKAR. I see Kurt from Grand Ledge is on. We got Ray as well. And our guest for today's current sports is Dr. Murray Howe, son of the hockey legend Gordie Howe and author of 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, right here live on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We just wrapped up segment A by addressing the Michigan State football win over the Penn State Nittany Lions. It was a thrilling game, an odd game, considering the 3-hour and 28-minute weather delay that began in the second quarter. My goodness, what a day it was. We want to take your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Line 1, Kirk from Grand Ledge. Kirk, how you doing, and welcome to the show?
I'm doing all right, Al. How are you?
I am blessed, my man. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm just going to touch on 3 things fairly quickly because I know you got other people who probably want to talk, but Matt Coughlin, the very essence of being a kicker and forgetting about your last kick, because, you know, the week before at Northwestern where he hits 2 uprights on kicks that could have been the points to keep the game out of overtime and could have been a victory, to then come back and basically handle the matter with poise, can't say enough. The other 2 items are non-football related. The first one is last Wednesday, when I was supposed to be getting soaked in Kalamazoo watching the Central Michigan-Western Michigan game, we chickened out in our old age and sat in an establishment and watched it on TV with lots of other TVs on. And one of the TVs that I couldn't take my eyes off was the Michigan State-Penn State volleyball game.
Michigan State, I know, fell in that game, I know, right?
Yeah, 3-1, but mm-hmm. I got to tell you, Al, the level of volleyball that was being played by both teams was unbelievable. There were volleys during the course of that match that I was just totally stunned at, in terms of going back and forth and great plays on both sides. And
right.
And it was just amazing. And if you haven't seen a Michigan State volleyball game yet, you ought to take one in. And then the last thing is your Detroit Pistons. And
yeah.
we had a little chat about this last week when we thought for sure they were going to beat the Lakers and come back 3-0 on that West Coast swing. But yeah. I'm sitting there looking at the Pistons, and they're 7-3, but of their 3 losses, they've lost to the Lakers and the 76ers.
Mm-hmm. And who are – don't sleep on the 76ers now. They have a pretty good team this year. Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. I like the 76ers a lot, but I hear where you're going. Yeah. Impressive, you know, though. 7-3? Nobody thought the Pistons would be 7-3 through 10 games right now.
No, that's true. Mm-hmm. But they also thought they would have lost to the Warriors and the Clippers on that road swing. So.
Right. Right, exactly, exactly. Very true. And, yeah, we chatted about it last week, Kirk. You came to my office, and we had a nice little chat about that. Now you look at the Pistons. I mean, they're second in the Eastern Conference right now, you know, next to the Boston Celtics. So very impressive stuff. Thank you, Kirk. Appreciate the call, man.
Take care, Al.
All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Quick call from Ray on line two. Oh, we don't have Ray. Isaac is saying, nope, cut it. Nope, Ray from Indiana is not on. So let's get to our guest for today's current sports. Oh, I'm excited about this one. And those watching via the Facebook live stream, you see I'm holding the book up right now. I actually got it sent a copy via my mailbox, and I'm really excited to dive into it. It's a book entitled 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father, from Dr. Murray Howe. Now, Dr. Murray Howe is Gordie Howe's youngest son. He is head of sports medicine imaging for Toledo Radiological Associates and ProMedica Health System Sports Care Program. Now, he's an associate clinical professor at the University of Toledo Medical Center. He also serves on the University of Michigan Medical School Admissions Committee. He has 4 decades of experience as a keynote speaker across Canada and the United States, covering various topics, including sports medicine, health and wellness, and, of course, hockey. He lives in Ohio, and he is here to talk about this wonderful piece of work entitled 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father, Dr. Murray Howe. Welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Doc?
I'm doing great, Al. How about you?
Fantastic. Thanks so much for taking some time today to join us here on the show. And I first off want to start by just asking you about the inspiration behind this book. When did it hit you that you wanted to produce something to talk about the lessons you learned from your iconic father?
Sure. So my dad passed away in June of 2016, and a few days after that was Father's Day. And I woke up on Father's Day, and I was just gutted that I couldn't hug my dad or do something special for him on Father's Day, because I would always plan a whole day. We'd do some fishing or golfing or whatever he wanted to do, and just I wanted to make it special for him. So I thought, well, what can I still do? What kind of gift could I give him, even though that he's no longer with us in body? And I thought, what better way to honor him than to put down on paper all that he stood for and all that he meant to me as a father and as a man, and kind of carry on his legacy of being a great person. And so that was the genesis behind it.
Now, Murray, I know that, you know, it must have been another world growing up as the son of hockey royalty. What was that like? What was your childhood like?
It was the most amazing childhood ever. I mean, I still pinch myself that, you know, that Gordie Howe was my dad and Colleen Howe was my mom, because they were just both the most phenomenal people, you know, you could ever meet. And Dad just, you know, he made it so much fun, because he never, you know, he always said, don't read your own press clippings, you'll start to believe them. And that's how he lived his life. It was just about, you know, having fun and connecting with people. And you know, in our neighborhood, I mean, he'd be out there mowing the lawn, and anybody could walk over and get an autograph anytime they wanted. And, you know, he would, you know, go shovel the neighbor's, you know, driveway or rake their yard. I mean, there was nothing that he, you know, wasn't thrilled doing. He just wanted to be helpful to people. And he was also so much larger than life that, you know, and athletically off the charts, that anything you did with him was just absolutely miraculous. I mean, if you ever saw him with a hammer, it was unbelievable the damage he could do with that thing. And, you know, he just was, and he was so impervious to pain that it was really just funny. I mean, I helped him on a project. He crushed his thumb with a hammer, and he looked at it and he said, "Oh, damn it!" And he, you know, just wrapped it with a little Kleenex,
just like a hockey player, right?
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. And that's how you survive for 32 years, is you just are impervious to pain, you know. And but he was just such a fun person to be around, and a great role model, because he didn't think too much of himself.
Yeah, very, very humble, right? For sure. And for you, Murray, you know, growing up with him, I just want to, do you have any stories about just looking at reactions from different people that, you know, when you guys were out in public and people would recognize, you know, the great Gordie Howe? I mean, what was that like watching the reaction of the public and putting that in contrast to your reaction, because you're around him all the time? You're his son, for goodness sake.
Yeah, you can imagine, you know, the how fun it was to be out in public with him. It was like having your own show and tell, you know, doll with you. And everywhere we'd go, of course, everybody, you know, always recognized him. And the second they did, then everyone else around them would go like, oh, you know, who's that there? And then a line would form. And it was cool because my dad was so good at you know, handling that and making it fun for them. So he'd stay there all day, you know, showing magic tricks to the little kids and hanging them upside down by their ears and giving hugs to everybody, posing for pictures. And so we really, like in the last year of his life when it was really harder for him to get around, we still were able to have so much fun by just bringing him out. We'd take him for a short walk in the local hockey rink at Tam O'Shanter, and he would spend the entire time there just mucking around with the little kids, showing them how to, you know, take a shot and then how to elbow them and all that. And he just put everybody instantly at ease and made it really fun for them.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the youngest son of the great Gordie Howe, hockey legend, Dr. Murray Howe, who is the author of 9 Lessons I Learned from My Father. Doc, I want to just kind of read a brief excerpt and just kind of get your reaction to this excerpt from your book. Quote, unlike his two brothers, Murray Howe failed in his attempt to follow in his father's footsteps to become a professional athlete. Yet, his failure brought him to the realization that, in truth, his dream wasn't to be a pro hockey player. His dream was to be his father, Gordie Howe. To be amazing at something, but humble and gracious, to be courageous and stand up for the little guy, to be a hero. You don't need to be a hockey player to do that. What he learned was that it is a waste of time wishing you were like someone else. We need to identify and embrace our gifts. Doc, just reading that excerpt just kind of put to perspective the relationship that you two had, and I'm pretty sure there wasn't any disappointment from your pops when your hockey career didn't pan out, right?
Correct. You know, I devoted my entire life to being a pro hockey player, and then when I failed miserably in that, I tried out for University of Michigan as a walk-on and got cut, and it was a crushing blow for me. I mean, I never thought that day would come. So when it did, I'm like, okay, well, what do I do now? So I walked back to my dorm, called my parents, and their response was, well, thank God we don't have to worry about you anymore. And and so that just put it, you know, put it all nicely in perspective. And so I was free to be able to follow my own, you know, passions and interests and talents. And I always loved sciences, so I was able to pursue the pre-med curriculum and was fortunate enough to get into medical school. And they were thrilled, you know, with that. They were able to enjoy the benefits of having a doctor in the family, too. And so that was very rewarding and satisfying for me as well. But it was one of the greatest parts of my parents is that they had no preconceived notion of who we should be. They just wanted us to be happy and to do the best that we did at whatever it was that we chose.
I think that is such a great message, because I've always wondered, I mean, when you are the son or daughter of sports royalty, I mean, I wonder what the pressure is like to try and follow in, you know, the footsteps of your said parent, yours being Gordie Howe, one of the greatest hockey players of all time. So did you feel like some pressure was lifted off of your shoulders when, you know, they encouraged you to do something else, and when you figured out that, okay, this hockey thing isn't going to pan out for me?
I did, and the pressure never came from them. It really came from within. You know, when I was born, our entire house was just a shrine to hockey. I mean, we had hockey equipment everywhere, and all we did was play driveway hockey, and our walls were decorated with trophies and paintings and photographs of hockey stuff. I mean, that was just what the Howe boys did, you know. And so we kind of all, you know, just took that route. And so after I realized that it wasn't going to pan out for me, then yes, it just opened the doors to my strengths that I had, which were in sciences and definitely not on the ice.
When people pick up this book again, Murray Howe, the author of Nine Lessons I Learned from My Father. When people pick up and read this, Murray, what do you want them to take away? And what are, again, without giving the whole book away, but what are a few lessons that you want people to learn from this book?
I can really summarize it by saying that your greatness is not measured by your academic or athletic achievements, or what you achieve in your industry and in your career. Your greatness is really measured by how much you give of yourself, how much you impact people by giving of yourself, your time and treasure and talents to them. And that's what really counts, and that's something that certainly we can all aspire to.
When he passed last year in June, and the memorial took place at Joe Louis Arena, you know, I wasn't there, Doc, but I saw the images and the pictures that were taken from that moment. And so many people, so many fans, you know, that have, you know, a connection to Gordie Howe based on what he was on the ice. It was remarkable to see. And I'm just curious to know what that moment was like for you. And what were your father's final days like?
The last 2 weeks of his life, he got a bad pneumonia, and I treated that for him, and that got better. But he was then just too weak to really stand, and it just seemed to me that because he couldn't stand, he just kind of decided that if he couldn't get out and be with the public, that it was time to move on. And so he just stopped eating, and yet he was graceful through the last couple of weeks. He just he seemed to be in no pain at all. There was no anxiety there, no worries. He just we surrounded him with family and kind of all took an opportunity to let him know exactly how much we appreciated, you know, him as a father and as a grandfather. And it was really a beautiful time. I'd never really gone through that experience other than with my mom, and Dad was just so graceful in the whole process, and it was pure peace and comfort, you know, for him. And so that made it real easy to say goodbye, because it was clear that he was ready. And afterwards, the outpouring of love and emotion was unbelievable. And that experience at Joe Louis Arena with 15,000 people filtering through over 13 hours there, I could just not turn away. When I started greeting visitors first thing in the morning, everybody had a story of how much he meant to them. And stories like that, one woman told me her husband, when his dying wish was to be buried in Gordie Howe's jersey. And
wow.
Stories like that. So I was blown away by how much he impacted so many people. And I always knew that people loved him, but I never experienced to the degree until that day at Joe Louis.
Yes, your father's impact certainly extended well beyond the ice. Dr. Murray Howe, son of hockey legend Gordie Howe, and author of Nine Lessons I Learned from My Father. Doc, how can people get your book?
It should be available at bookstores everywhere, and if they can't find it, then they can get it at any online bookstore like Amazon, for sure.
Thank you so much, Doc. We got to get you back on one of these days, my man.
That sounds great, Al. Wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much.
You as well. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will preview the Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers matchup at Lambeau Field. Oh, I tell you what, this should be a close game. I think it's going to be a really close game. The Lions playing a Packers team that does not have Mr. Aaron Rodgers. We'll preview that and have weekend winners for you, that and more. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with Dr. Murray Howe, son of hockey legend Gordie Howe, and author of Nine Lessons I Learned from My Father. Real brief postscript right now as we have Caitlin Plug live here in Studio West, who sat in on that interview. And Caitlin, we all know you're a big hockey fan. You are not just a hockey fan, but a Detroit Red Wings hockey fan.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you were sitting by me listening to that interview with Dr. Murray Howe, the youngest son of Gordie, and you became a bit emotional as he started to talk about, you know, the reaction that hockey fans had to Gordie's death, especially at the memorial when, you know, you heard Doc say that someone, you know, their dying wish was to be buried with Gordie's jersey on them. Absolutely amazing. Just quick thoughts on what Gordie means to the Red Wings and what he means personally to you and your family.
Well, growing up in a hockey family, like, Gordie Howe is the Red Wing. Like, everyone knows Gordie Howe. Mm-hmm. And my brother, he's a college hockey player, so he looked up to the players like Gordie Howe and Nick Lindstrom. I mean, he's a defenseman, so it's more like Nick Lindstrom, but he just had, like, Gordie Howe just had that just figure about him. Like, that's who you want to be. Any hockey player wants to be Gordie Howe.
Right.
And it was like, I got to, like, my brother, he's a year older than I am, so it's like I got to experience that with him. It's like he's the one that got me into hockey when we were little. So Gordie Howe was like someone I looked up to, and I was like, he is just an outstanding person. And when I went to Joe Louis, I never personally got to meet him, but he was there multiple times when I was at Joe Louis Arena. Him and Ted Lindsay just always there giving back to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you'd see the line just going all the way around the arena just to wait in line to meet him. And I was like, he just had that effect on all Red Wing fans. And
definitely,
he just personally, just wonderful person. And
that's what you hear. I mean, you heard, you know, his son just on the air, and he talked about how humble he was, you know, and walking around, he would always, you know, embrace fans. You hear that a lot.
Yeah.
And just a very approachable person, never got on his high horse, just a regular guy who loved life. So thank you for sharing it. And where does your brother play?
He plays at Davenport University.
He's at Davenport now.
Out of Grand Rapids.
Nice. What year is he?
He's a senior.
Great stuff. Playing well?
Yeah, he just got injured this past weekend.
Oh, no.
Tore his meniscus.
He tore his meniscus this past weekend?
Yeah.
Who did they play?
They were playing in Ohio, I think.
Okay, gotcha. Wow, well, we wish him a speedy recovery.
Yeah, he's going to meet a surgeon this week. So.
Okay, will he get another year? Is that a season-ending injury, I assume?
No, they don't think it will be.
Okay, good.
Because
okay.
He's had knee problems before. Tore an ACL back in high school.
Oh, boy, that's
so
not good.
He's hoping it's going to be at most 6 weeks.
All right.
So we'll see.
All right, well, wishing him a speedy recovery then. Caitlin, thank you for sharing that. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, well, to end the show, let's hit you with weekend winners as we also, in this segment, will preview the Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers Monday night football game. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. Greatest thing about sports is you play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
All right, for weekend winners, Isaac, I'm going to the camp of the NFL. Your New Orleans Saints, they're on a roll. Six straight wins for them. The Philadelphia Eagles, my goodness, I think they're the best team in the NFL right now. Carson Wentz is on another level right now. Also, my Dallas Cowboys. How about that win against the Kansas City Chiefs? An embarrassing play, though, to end the first half. I mean, I just shook my head watching Tyreek Hill just take that one to the house. But the Cowboys are playing well, even though everybody's playing catch-up to the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East right now. I was happy about the win, though, against a really good Kansas City Chiefs team. Again, Lions, Packers tonight. Isaac, who do you got in that game?
Tonight, I'm going with the Lions. And I know that they don't have the best track record over there in Green Bay, but at the same time, Brett Hundley is a quarterback. You heard all the stats in the headliners. I just think the Lions can contain him and finally snap this losing streak that they've got going on.
Yeah, I think the Lions will get out the doghouse as well. I mean, you don't have Aaron Rodgers, you know, behind center in this game. I think Matthew Stafford, he's I think he's going to have a good game tonight against that Packers defense. And I expect Eric Ebron to show up. That's my bold prediction tonight. I think
that
Eric
is bold.
Ebron. Yeah, very right. I think Eric Ebron is going to do his thing tonight. So hopefully, and again, he won't have to hear boos at Lambeau Field. That's just
no. It'll be a nice audience reception for him.
Hopefully, or just he just needs a silent one. He doesn't need any reception. Just go out there and just play football, man, and catch the football. All right. So we'll recap that game, of course, on tomorrow's Current Sports. And also, I want to encourage everybody out there to check out. And I'm right here on the front page of ESPN.com. Carvell Wallace has a piece on Miles Bridges. Everybody's talking about this young man. ESPN's top 50 men's college basketball players heading into this season. That list was released today. Put it on my Instagram page, and you know who numero uno is, that being Miles Bridges from your Michigan State men's basketball team. Miles's face is right now plastered on the front page of ESPN.com. The article is entitled, Even Tom Izzo Tried to Get Miles Bridges to Go to the NBA, He Wouldn't. It's kind of a piece kind of taken off of what Michael Rosenberg wrote in his Sports Illustrated article on Miles Bridges, which I read last night. It's amazing if you have not read that piece. So Miles is everywhere. I guess one of my weekend winners is Miles Bridges, even before the season officially begins later on this week on Friday for Tom Izzo Spartans. All right, that's all I got. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow, right here live on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Thank you to all of our listeners out there, as well as our guest for today's Current Sports, Dr. Murray Howe. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow, folks. Have a great afternoon, and be easy, people.